It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. It's kind of a lonely studio this week, Q. It's not usually just you and me in here.
No.
It's
this is a bit eerie here.
We got a great show for you, but everybody is on the line, out and about. We're going to talk to Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. It's been too long since we've talked to Tim. It's been, I think, a couple months, and I want to talk to him about the last couple months of hunting season in both Missouri and Illinois and get a full recap and update on that and many other things. So very much looking forward to catching up with Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors in just a few moments. But to start the show, we have my intrepid co-host, the road warrior himself, dead middle here of the of show season, Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors, has seen quite a bit of the Midwest of the United States over the last several weeks. Mark, thanks for calling in, and Columbus, Ohio this weekend, right?
Yep, Columbus, Ohio, the National Fishing Expo. It's a good show out here. You know, it's that's a good haul, though, from home.
Yeah. Yeah. How far of a drive is that from Alton?
6 to 6.5
Oof,
hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Last week was kind of sort of close to home in Marion. We talked to you last week to start the show when you were just getting that show kicked off. How was the show in Marion last weekend?
Yeah, the attendance was a little down. I think the weather was too nice. It was warm.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. We've had some unseasonably warm weather here as well, so that could definitely play a role. People actually getting a chance to go outside instead of having to plan for their next trip. I would imagine that's why all of these shows are in January and February, right? Because this is a chance. This is not when a lot of people are able to get outside and take advantage of the great outdoors. So they plan all these shows in the wintertime so people can sort of use them to prep for the coming year. But if there's a nice day, that kind of backfires, right?
Yep. People will they'll jump out. I know last weekend down at Marion, the ice finally got melted off all the lakes and everybody just got out there and got with it.
Yeah.
And was fishing. So, I mean, it's going to happen. But
how's the weather in Columbus? What's it like there this weekend?
Yeah, there's people walking around in shorts.
Wow. Dang. That's crazy.
A couple guys I'm sitting here, we're calling in. I'm by the big door. So let people in and out. And you guys are walking around in shorts.
Jeez, it's been mild here. Well, and I'm acting like you haven't been home. Mark is in the St. Louis area through the week, just not on the weekends when we do the show. But it hasn't really been shorts weather here. That's pretty amazing. So it might be too early to tell, but how's the crowds at that show so far? Do you think that the weather is also impacting that one?
Yeah, we're going to. If you're going to find out, you got to get through Saturday, and then that gives you an idea of what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Once you get through.
What's this weather do, though, for the shop? How are things at Bluff City Outdoors? Are people taking advantage of these mild temperatures?
Oh, yeah. People are going fishing.
Yeah. What are you hearing from people in the shop? This probably is a bit of a surprise, like something maybe you didn't get a chance to plan for, but all of a sudden you got a 65-degree day, and you can get out there on the water.
Yeah, crappie bites have been real good. Hearing people catching some bass and catching some catfish on the river. So, they keep, as long as you can tolerate the weather, water temps are still down, but fish bite when it's like that. You catch a lot of nice fish.
Yeah, Absolutely. I mean, you know, Mike Marfell, who was in here last week, and he's got a tournament. He's actually heading down to Table Rock this week in front of us. He's got a tournament down there in Table Rock this coming weekend, and he's, I think, going to check in with us live from the water on next week's show. So very much looking forward to that. But yeah, it's nice to be talking about getting back out outside. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. It's still, you know, February, but I cannot believe, I don't know if it feels the same way for you, but like this going into this week, we're halfway through February. It's Valentine's week. Like it's spring really is right around the corner. So this is the time
right
to get,
the corner.
Yeah, this is the time to get prepared, especially, you know, tackle box wise, you know, fill the gaps in tackle box.
Literally 4 or 5 weeks, you know, and then it's going to be, you know, full on heading into spring.
Yeah. And Poxitani Phil's said that spring's coming early. So come on.
It could be the end of the month then.
Right. Poxitani Phil is 39% accurate. He's worse than a coin toss.
Yeah,
I hope he's right, but I wouldn't put any stock in it. We talked a little bit about this last week, but as you go around to these shows around the country, around the Midwest, are there any strong commonalities, or like does every community, every area, sort of have their own thing, or they, you know, like their popular ways to fish or popular lures or gear in every place? Or is there some commonality throughout these shows?
I mean, there's some, but I definitely noticed, like with these couple of trips to Ohio, people like smaller plastic baits for their crappie and panfish fishing. They'll use a lot of the 1-inch stuff, 1.25 inches. Whereas, you know, back home, it's, you know, it's more the, you know, inch and a half to 2.5 inch baits. So I noticed that. And then you go down south, they use bigger baits. You've got bigger fish.
Yeah. We've talked about this, about the growth in the fishing industry in general over the last couple of years, especially since we've been doing this show. And, you know, in our area, especially with you and the Alton Catfish Classic, we talk a lot about catfishing. Of course, bass fishing is nationally, you know, usually the biggest fishing industry there is. But obviously, catfishing is big in our area, but it's one of the many, you know, that are growing across the country. Catfish. I feel like we're talking about crappie fishing on this show more than we ever have in the past. You know, we've talked about walleye fishing and everything else. What is the outside of bass fishing? What area is growing the most, do you think, across the country? Because, like I said, we're talking
probably
about a lot of these things more than ever.
Crappie and catfishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Crappie's ahead of catfishing. Catfishing's coming on. The thing with like catfish is, you know, they're everywhere, you know, ponds, lakes, rivers. So, you know, some of the rivers around here, you don't have really good like bluegill fishing or really good crappie fishing. But catfish, you got them just about everywhere. But crappie's just becoming the fish of choice for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know, why do you think that is? Why do you think?
So good to eat.
Yeah. Really? Like, you think it's about the, I didn't know, like, if there was more, like, if the sport of it for some reason was getting more popular, or if it's just people. And you know what? To your point, actually, you know, we've seen a lot of people, you know, going into growing the fishing industry for the fun and recreation of it. But there's more people across this country that are kind of getting back to that kind of thing, like catching your own food and you know, some of those more traditional things that we haven't seen recently.
Oh, like, without a doubt.
People are getting back to that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at crappie, bluegill, I mean, they're just simply delicious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, white bass are good. You kind of get the red meat out of there. You know, catfish are good to eat. You know, people don't eat bass for the most part. I mean, except for, you know, ponds and lakes where they're overpopulated, people will take them out and eat them. But, I mean, it's that and the end. And then you got your serious crappie tournament trails, too, that are pretty gung-ho and diehard hitting that. And catfish is coming up, you know, with more and more catfish tournaments now. So
yeah,
it's, you know, there's, so you got those three big bass, crappie, catfish. If people want to go, you know, fish some tournaments and have some fun doing that. Yeah. You know, there's just more of those available too. And the further north you go, you got, you know, there's walleye circuits and things like that for the walleye fishermen.
Yep. And I bet you can say the same thing about the hunting industry. And it's, I think, something I'm going to bring up with Tim Shelsvik here in just a few minutes. As that industry, the hunting industry grows, I think the sport of it, as well as just the providing, you know, for yourself and your family, is playing a role in that growth as well. We'll let you get back to the show there in Columbus, Mark. Before we do, anything that we need to mention about Bluff City Outdoors, I need to remind folks the archery range is open every day to shoot in out there. And of course, if you need to stock up that tackle box, this warm weather is a great reminder that the spring is right around the corner. No right better place to go than Bluff City. Yeah.
Archery stuff, we've just got tons of new stuff. It's stuff coming in every day. So people are going to be amazed that the amount of, especially when you get into traditional stuff, we've just put in a lot of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of Jeff and Seth Love. And I said, you know, let's do it. Let's be the traditional shop in St. Louis. And
I love
it.
Let's
be the archery shop in St. Louis. So.
I think that's something that people are definitely looking for. So make sure you get out there, Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there on Broadway. And we'll talk to you, hopefully be able to catch up with you next week. Where are you headed? What's next weekend bring for you, Mark?
Next week's the Quad Cities up at Rock Island, Moline, what is it, Bettendorf, and what's the other town there? I'm trying to remember. There's two. They call it the Quad Series.
Yeah,
Rock
yeah.
Island in Moline on the Illinois side, and I know Bettendorf, and then one of the towns on the Iowa side.
Yep, absolutely. I know the area. I don't know the other city either, but I know exactly where you're talking about, and hopefully we can catch up with you next weekend as you're heading up to that show. Mark McMurray, really appreciate your time, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Tony.
Yeah, you bet. Safe travels. Great stuff there. Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Going to switch from fishing to hunting. I'm going to talk to Tim Shelsvik, our buddy from Drury Outdoors. He joins us next on the Bluff City Outdoors Show. She's hooked, and now she can't get enough.
Man, that girl sure loves to fish. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL. This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show. I want to remind you real quick about our podcast. We put this show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every week. And we hear from people all the time about how they take the show, the podcast, with them while they are hunting or fishing. And a great thing to just remember to make sure you never miss anything that happens here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show, to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. All right. As I mentioned, joining us now on the show, back with us, it's been too long. Speaking of podcast hosts, he's a podcast host. He's a hunter. He's a fit, attractive male model. And he is Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors, who is back on the show with us. How are you, buddy?
I've been told I have a very symmetrical face.
You know what? That would, if somebody said that to me, it would be the nicest compliment I've ever received. So I would.
You
take
know,
that.
I got on the plane to go out to SHOT Show, and the nice older lady I was sitting next to, she was like, you look like Jason Sudeikis. Has anyone ever told you that?" And I said, "No, but." I'll take it as a compliment. Thank you.
You know what? She's right. I never thought about that before. I don't think I'd have gotten there on my own, but now I see it.
I didn't. But I was like, all right. This is going to be a fun plane ride.
That's fantastic.
She was delightful.
It's been way too long since we've talked to you. I think the last time we had you on was kind of at the beginning of deer season in both mm-hmm. Missouri and Illinois. And ironically, as we were just chatting a little bit off the air, we just had Mark McMurray on with us, who's, of course, on his world tour going to the various fishing shows around the Midwest. And he's in Columbus, Ohio today. Yep. And we were just talking about how how unseasonably warm it has been in our area especially this last week or so, but even actually throughout the winter, except for that one really super cold snap that we had. It's been sort of mild, and that's had an impact on a lot of things, and including this past hunting season, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we were talking about that when we had you on. The last time we had you on, it was kind of a warm weekend, and it was impacting the guys that were getting out outside hunting. So recap sort of what we went through this season in Missouri and Illinois, and what was it? Was it good? Was it bad? Did the temperatures have a big influence on what happened?
Part of the reason you and I haven't spoken in a while is that I've had nothing to report from the field. I, like a lot of guys, I had a tough season. I had one mature buck in front of me, and I literally clipped a twig with my arrow, and it was just enough to kind of kick the arrow sideways and just graze him. Didn't shed any blood. He was fine. Just a little, upset that, like, hey, something just hit me in the side, but let me go back to chasing girls. So that was, I killed a few does. So that was great. But, we had such mild to warm temperatures coupled with a moon phase that didn't really, it didn't really align with peak estrus. And, typically when you like to see a full moon. And so, we had this kind of staccato deer movement all year where you would get a few days of a cold front or even a cool front, because a cold front is relative to prevailing temperatures. You'd get this rush of deer activity because, like, oh gosh, it finally went from 85 down to 75. So that's cool relative to what it has been. They're going to move. And so you had a bunch of deer killed in a very short amount of time, but then you had these stretches a week, 2 weeks, where it was just unseasonably warm and nothing was moving, coupled with another bumper mast crops. You had acorns dropping all over the woods, and there was nothing to really focus deer because there was food everywhere. They could just meander around and graze as they go along. So a lot of aspects conspired against a lot of hunters this year. And then you mentioned that cold snap we had at the end of deer season where it was, 15 degrees and 25 mile an hour wind out of the north. And I sat on January 15th in a saddle set up, and my ropes for my saddle around the tree literally froze solid. So it was like dealing with a hoop trying to get back down. It just almost got dangerous. It was just that cold.
Yeah.
So it was just a very strange weather deer season. Now, in general, deer harvest numbers were kind of average-ish, nothing to really write home about. But it was kind of a struggle for a lot of guys to get something killed.
Yeah, average numbers, I think, shows you the dedication and the maybe even the growth of the industry to produce average numbers when it was such a tough season. And I wanted to ask you about this. This is another thing that Mark and I were just talking about. You've been a part of this conversation a lot over the years on this show. The growth of the outdoor industry in general, in fishing and hunting. We can attribute it to a lot of different things, but I think one of them is just also kind of getting back to a traditional lifestyle. Like the sport of it, fishing and hunting and all that is definitely growing, but people wanting to catch and kill their own food, whether they're fishing or hunting, I think has played a role in the growth of the industry. Do you see that as much on the hunting side? Particularly like deer hunting and things like that, turkey hunting maybe, as we have on the fishing side? Are more people eating their catch than maybe just the sport of it is in the past?
I think what I'm seeing is more people who are hunting adjacent who are interested in consuming the game. As in, I've got a lot of friends and family who are asking me for venison. they're not necessarily interested in spending the time and right. the resources and developing the skill to go out and source it.
But they're all for you. They're fully supportive of your efforts in that mm-hmm. area.
Like, hey, you got any extra summer sausage or whatever laying around? Because you keep hearing stories about hormones in beef and antibiotics, and you see very few people can afford to shop at some of these higher end grocery stores to get grass fed, no antibiotic beef, and so getting it from wild game is probably the best place to get it. But man, I think I saw at a local grocery store they had ground venison by the pound. And it was like $15 or wow. something for a pound of it.
Wow.
A lot of people are getting a little more aware of the mass food industry and some of the corners that have to be cut. Just some of the realities of feeding a nation of a few hundred million people. And it just has to be the way it is. And I think people are a little more cognizant of what they're putting in their bodies and realizing what inflammation does to them and different allergies people are developing over time. Mm-hmm. So wild game is becoming more and more of a let's get back to basics. Let's cut out all the different variables that are in our food and try to go as simple and clean as possible.
Yeah. You know what? We've only got a couple minutes left here with Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors, but that is a perfect lead in because of so many things that you do with the 100% Wild podcast, the Thinking Woodsman podcast, and the work that you do with that site. But I know that exactly what we're talking about right now is something that you're really passionate about, fitness and diet. Tell folks about about your various podcasts and various projects that people that are listening can maybe get involved with if they're heading down that path as well.
Yeah. If folks are kind of feeling like, maybe I'm not living my best life. Maybe I could be a little healthier, eat a little better, get a little more exercise, but do it in a way that works for my life. I've got a Facebook group called the Legion of Woodmen, and it's a community that I've built that is very positive and very practical. And it gives you the tools and a team to belong and then become something better, like to become what you really want to be. There was a point in my life where I was overweight and couldn't enjoy the outdoors in the way that I wanted to. And obviously, you think about longevity and time in the field and time with family and the health. You don't have to be ripped to be a good hunter or to enjoy a hike with your grandkids or whatever. But if you are healthy and strong and durable, you are more likely to spend more days in the field with your family. You're more likely to not let a fall put you up for days or weeks at a time. It just makes life is so much better when you're in shape. And so that's kind of what I'm doing with the Legion of Woodsmen. People can jump on that Facebook group and jump into that community.
That's fantastic. Also check out the 100% Wild podcast. And Tim, we really appreciate your time as always and hope to catch up with you again very soon, my friend. Have a great rest of your day.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tony. See ya.
You bet. Thank you. That is Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors. I want to remind you about Rockwood Lump Charcoal. This nice weather is a perfect reason to get outside and do some grilling. Use Rockwood Lump Charcoal, great local business, supporting local industry and using the number one rated consumer charcoal in the country, 9 years running. Rockwood Lump Charcoal available at over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. And a big shout out to Jonathan Heslop, the owner of Rockwood Charcoal, who also just opened up another business, the brand new Capriotti's Sandwich Shop at 9532 Manchester Road. From the people that bring you Rockwood Charcoal, Capriotti's is a fantastic, new to the St. Louis area sandwich shop that just opened this past week. And Jonathan's a good friend, so wanted to show him a little love. I got a chance to try some Capriotti's sandwiches this week, and they are incredible. Again, the new Capriotti's at 9532 Manchester Road. All right. I've had a lot of people over the last couple weeks wanting to hear Q's kayaking story that he told on the show a few weeks ago. And I thought it would be a perfect time to replay that for the folks that missed it. So we're going to play one of our favorite segments from recent shows next here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Big thank you to Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors joining us in that last segment. And a few weeks ago when we had Mike Marfell in here with us, producer Quentin told us his long-awaited kayak story. And we've had a lot of people that missed that story asking about it. So we thought we'd bring it to you again this week. So here is that story. And thank you for listening. Listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show.
This is the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL.
Fiddle or violin?
It's a violin if you got your shoes on. It's a fiddle if they're off, baby.
You know what? I've heard various explanations. I've never heard that one, and I think that's my favorite.
Yep.
My daughter played violin.
So did mine, but she took her shoes off. She was fiddling.
Yeah. She played in college at the orchestra, in the orchestra at Missouri State before she moved down to Florida.
Packed it off to Disney World?
Yeah. Yeah,
violin's my favorite instrument, by the way. Next to the guitar, it's a close call.
You know what?
I can't play it. I can play the guitar, but the violin is very difficult.
Violin, guitar, and piano.
Mm.
The piano is just so versatile.
Yeah.
You can just do so many things.
Drummers that sing freak me out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You ever seen the stand-up drum kit?
No.
So the band Cowboy Mouth comes to mind because that was a big 90s alternative band where the lead singer was the drummer. And he had a stand-up drum kit. So he would stand. The mic would be a normal, on the normal mic stand up, you know.
Right. Standing
height. Standing height. And he still had the kick, he still had the bass drum kick pedals down at the bottom. And everything was set up for him to be standing, and there was
wow.
I've seen him. I've seen a few others use it over the years, but it's a weird thing to look at.
Yeah, well, doing the rhythm and singing melody together.
Yeah, when you see somebody playing drums that way, it's like, whoa, that doesn't look right. But then you get it. You understand it when they're singing and stuff. And
Yeah.
Especially because it is harder to sing sitting down than it is standing up.
For sure. For sure. So but I think it would be harder to play drums standing up than sitting down, too.
I
guess once you get used to it, I mean.
It's a funky looking thing.
Yeah.
Well, like the Alabama rig. It's a funky looking thing.
That's right. That's right. But man, the whole melody while you're playing the rhythm is just, that's talking about, patting your head and rubbing your belly. That's right. The ultimate in doing that, you know.
Yep,
and guys that do it well are impressive. What's the guy I'm thinking of? Is it Ginger Baker that does it? Sings? No, the guy from the band.
Think
of his name.
Man, we need some of the classic rock guys in here.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Vic. Or,
Yeah. No, but you're exactly.
I'm terrible with names, but the guy from the band, Levon Helm.
You're exactly right.
Is that right?
You're gonna say it, and I'm not gonna know. So.
I'm not either. Yeah. It's not like we all don't have a device in our hand. I can figure it out. But
exactly.
It's the outdoor show. But
hey, speaking of great music, I'm gonna take advantage of this.
Oh, there you go. Look at me making a segue. Yeah. I'm almost professional now.
Yeah, I'm gonna take advantage of this and promote that this coming weekend we are going to be playing a show. My band, which is myself and Katie Fitzpatrick and Perry Woods, who you hear every week on the show. He is the person that wrote and performed our opening here to the Bluff City Outdoor Show. We have a band. It's called Tony Colombo and the North County Sound Machine. That's real, Q. We are playing a show with our buddy Mark Close. Speaking of the classic rock guys, Mark Close from KC95. His band is Close's Quarters. And our buddy Lenny Mink. All three of us will be performing that night. It's going to be an absolute blast. If you are fans of News Talk STL, you've got to come out and see Katie Fitzpatrick sing because she is freaking incredible. She's the lead singer of our band. You can go to the bathroom. I only sing a couple of songs. That's a perfect time to go to the bar and get a drink or go to the bathroom. And Katie will be entertaining you the rest of the time. Our band, too, Perry Woods, Alonzo Tilton, our band is just phenomenal. And these guys are the best of the best when it comes to St. Louis musicians.
Perry's worth the price of admission alone.
Oh, amen to that. And so it's going to be this coming Saturday night, January 27th at Westport Playhouse. Tickets are just $15 a piece, and all the proceeds go to Thrive STL, go to Thrive St. Louis. So you are supporting local music. You're coming out for a super fun night, super just party atmosphere throughout. We've got some special guests. We've got some great surprises planned, and then just tons of great music for you. And it all goes to a great cause. 100% of the proceeds go to Thrive St. Louis, and that is thanks to our sponsors, Gutter Pros and Weber Chevrolet. Without the support that Gutter Pros and Weber Chevrolet gives us, we wouldn't be able to give all the proceeds to Thrive St. Louis. And, you know, those organizations, Weber Chevrolet especially, has been helping out the local area, local music scene, the community in general for such a long time. They've been in business in St. Louis for over 120 years. I mean, that is just absolutely
incredible. That's staggering.
Yeah, and I have personally seen, you know, I work with a lot of different bands and musicians in the local music scene, and Weber Chevrolet has stepped up to the plate so many times to support the local music and the community. So can't thank them enough. Can't thank the guys at Gutter Pros enough. Same thing for them, you know, just going above and beyond to support the local community and give us a chance to bring this great show to you and make all the proceeds available to Thrive St. Louis. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Tickets are available now at the Westport Playhouse website. I also have it linked at the top, pinned to the top of my Twitter, at Tony Colombo Talk. So you can get them off of, you can just go to my Twitter and click on the link there. Just go to westportplay.com, get your tickets there, and come and join us for an awesome night.
Will there be any singing drummers this close sing?
There will not be any. Well, you know what? Alonzo does not lead sing anything, but Alonzo.
A little harmony from the drum kit?
Some harmony. He hits those high notes.
That counts.
Baby.
That counts.
He hits those. Like, he hits those notes. He's there for you. He's got you.
I was correct, too. It's Levon Helm. And how do we not miss Dave Grohl?
Oh, yeah. But does he sing and drum at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he does?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Phil Collins.
Same thing. Yeah, Don Henley, Ringo Starr, but his singing sucks, in my opinion. Taylor Hawkins from Grohl's band. God dang, I'm horrible with...
Yeah, he's with Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, yeah.
He's
leftist now, but he sang too.
Yeah, and he was in another band too, I think, before the Foo Fighters.
Right.
Anyway.
And people don't realize Karen Carpenter of the Carpenters used to play the drums and sing before they brought her out front.
There you go.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy.
So maybe we can get close to sing.
Those drummers, man, they're legit. The drummers are...
If you can
they
all,
get overlooked, dude, too much.
If you can... I've played in bands. You can't... You can hide a guitar player. You can hide a singer. If you have a rhythm section, it's game over from the start.
We have to we rely on Alonzo. Like you said, Perry Woods is worth the price of admission.
He is
the best guitar player. I've never seen a better guitar player in person, and I've seen a lot of world famous guitarists.
Right. When people ask me who's the best guitar player, I'll say you don't know his name.
He can hang with every single one of them. He is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And at band practice, at rehearsal, even he will default to our drummer Alonzo. Like if we're working out some kind of bridge or working out some kind of transition or whatever, like
Stevie Ray Vaughan is not Stevie Ray Vaughan without double trouble.
Our drummer is the one who makes those decisions.
I mean, you watch Stevie Ray Vaughan like live at the El Macambo. He is not Stevie Ray Vaughan if not for double trouble to be able to bring everything up and down. Same way with Jimi Hendrix isn't Jimi Hendrix without the experience.
Yeah,
it's just if you have, especially in a three-piece band, if your drummer sucks, it's nobody. Everybody's leaving.
Yep.
You know, it's horrible.
So come and join us. It's going to be an absolute blast. Again, it is this coming Saturday, January 27th, Westport Playhouse. Tickets are on sale now at the Westport Playhouse website. Again, I've got the link pinned at the top of my Twitter, at Tony Colombo Talk. So come out and join us. All right, Q, you're up, Daddy. So last week, how did this even happen? We were just talking about, like...
He's talking about you, you and Perry dragging people along behind you. Dragging the kayak behind you.
The most Hoosier fishing setup of all time when we used to tie my friend's kayak to the back of my John boat, which was already we already got a rope tied to the back of a John boat pulling a kayak around Spanish Lake or wherever we're fishing at. But also this John boat was the most road hard, put away wet boat you've ever seen. It was 50 years old, full of holes, had been spray painted a million times. I mean, we were a sight to see. So I'm telling that story about kayaks last week, and Q, who barely ever even talks on the show and does not have any fishing stories from his past to share with us, actually has a kayak story. So we're like, well, we got to hear it. So what happened? You were on the water?
So we were camping, my whole family. So you guys familiar with Eminence, Missouri?
Yes.
So we were camping down there, and I forgot the creek that we were staying on, but it's right there.
Okay.
It's called Current
River. Current River.
Current River.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so.
Yeah.
Very clear.
Yes, it's gorgeous.
One of those great Missouri, Merrimack, Big River, Jack's Fork.
Yep. They strap a beer around your neck at 8 a.m. Rivers.
It merges into Jack Fork. So,
Yeah,
it does.
So we had, I guess, a trip planned. My dad, my little sister, little brother, myself. Never gone camping. Never gone in a canoe. Never been in a kayak. So my dad schedules a trip in canoes, and they gave me a kayak. So it's my dad and my little sister, who's about 12, 13 at the time, and then my mom and my little brother, who's 3 years old, all right, in a canoe. So it's those two in a canoe.
And you're alone.
And I'm alone in the kayak, which, perfect, cool.
Yeah.
You got to put on the life vest first,
They
go
safety
through the
first.
Whole safety things. And then I found out how long the trip was. We all found out, my dad pre-purchased everything. Well, he purchased a 30-mile adventure. So we're going on this thing for 30 miles.
That's
never been in a canoe, never been in a kayak, which sounds amazing. Sounds great. So we get on the water.
It's a long way, Q.
It's a long and it gets even longer. It was a long way. I had, they made us put on the shoes, you had shoes on, and everything. So
the waiters,
if you fall out, you're not stepping on sticks.
Right.
As soon as I get in, I had the utmost confidence in myself.
Of course,
my jacket comes off. Shoes come off. I'm comfortable. I was able. About 5 minutes in, I got the hang of it. I have the
kayak paddles.
The kayak paddles. And my dad and my mom and them, they have the canoe paddles.
Yep.
Well, my mom and my little brother's only 3 years old. He can't canoe.
No,
he can't paddle.
He's just sitting in the middle.
He's just sitting. So it's my mom just with one, with one rower. So about 5 minutes in, she asked me for mine. And, it's like, please, can you just give it to me? It's just because I can't do this with your little brother. All right, fine, here. So now I have this one paddle.
Uh-huh.
Going. That's not for a kayak.
Exactly. For approximately 29 and a half miles. So we are – so I got to get the hang of this. And so I'm not afraid of the water by any means.
Right.
I know how to swim. I know how to do everything.
Got to get pretty deep before it gets over your head to begin
with.
Now
that's where my fear comes in.
And one of the things about those beautiful lakes, those beautiful little rivers in Missouri is, good and bad, they're crystal clear.
Crystal
so you can see everything going on down there.
Which,
and sometimes you don't need to see everything that's going on.
I'm a tall
especially
guy.
How deep it is.
And so the water, as long as it doesn't go above my head, I'm okay. So whatever. So the first bend comes in, and my dad and my mom and them, they go one side. So I'm like, hey, this is my chance. I'm a little giddy here. I go around the other side. The other side has all these hanging branches and everything. And so I get to dodging out the way of one of them, and I completely tip over. Of course, nobody can see me. So now I'm by myself. When I first tip over, I have one canoe.
Do you say you're way ahead or way behind?
Well, at this point now, I get behind because I'm trying to get in.
So nobody's going to even run into you eventually.
Nobody's running into me.
You got to get up and get
nobody
caught back
sees
up.
Me. Nobody even knows I'm in distress. I get down the first thing, now I don't panic, but instantly, I'm... I need to get back up.
It's not
turn
a good,
it over.
No,
this
it's
isn't
not a
good.
Fun thing.
This
no, it's not a good thing. No.
The only thing going through my head are snakes in the water.
Yeah, and there are.
Thank you. So I didn't have the shoes on. So I am scrambling to get back up, pushing off, and my feet are just digging into sticks.
And rocks.
My gosh. My feet were killing me. So again, my first time in a kayak, nobody taught me how to get board back it. On after yeah. you tip over. So I going in circles for a couple times.
Like get back on top and flips right back
flips
over.
Right back over. Back
down, flips right back
flips
over.
Right back over. And my feet are killing me, and I'm just worried. All these hanging branches, I'm seeing swivels in the water. It's not fun. So oh, I finally yeah. get back in. By the time I come
that's
up,
something alive, making those swivels.
Thank you. Hey, I'm like, it's in the past
that's
now.
Life.
So by the time I actually rejoin the current river, mom, dad, everybody, they're
down
up
our
there.
Ways.
Yeah, they're up there.
Uh-huh.
So eventually I catch up about 15 miles in.
Only halfway home.
Only
Kim.
Halfway. The next part comes where
we're halfway done and we're 3 days in.
My dad and my little sister just left us. Just they proceeded to leave and didn't look back. So I'm staying with my mom because she's 15 miles with this one yeah. kayak paddle. Uh-huh. You know, it's tough. So we go over some really shallow waters to where her canoe isn't
gotta
even
drag it.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. getting out, dragging that.
Did you put your shoes
kayak.
Back on at this point?
Yeah, I hope you put your shoes. Well, where were the shoes?
Shoes were in the canoe with my mom.
Okay, good. Oh. So they weren't at the bottom of the river.
Exactly.
That's good.
Oh, no.
What was at the bottom of the river?
No. One shoe was. Oh, I had no. two shoes. I was able to pick up one shoe. That's where my other shoe was. So that's another part. I couldn't get the other shoe. There was no getting it. It was done. It was,
no,
it was
yeah,
done for.
It's gone.
So
it's
now
gone.
I have
it's
one gone. Shoe the whole time. So cool.
Dragging this canoe. With only one shoe on
and
is a
kayak.
Bad deal. No,
crazy.
That's not good.
But
that's not good.
That's part.
That's a lot of sharp rocks.
But then at the very end, not 2 miles to the very end, the current is rapid. Yeah, I mean, it gets.
Doing
it
some whitewater rafting. Here we go.
All right. So I'm now ahead of everybody. I guess my, you know.
Yeah.
Dad, sister stopped off on the side. They're just waiting for us to catch up. We caught up. They decided to canoe together. There are two canoes rolling down, and I just went ahead on. I flipped back over. I got back up, but when I was getting up, the current was taking my kayak in
because
I'm barely able to really hold on. So now I'm digging my feet into the rushes
to stop
the kayak. And oh, man. Killing my feet. So I try to walk off to the side while fighting the current with my kayak in my hand. And so I'm waiting for them to try to let them know, like, hey, watch out. I see my mom and my little brother's canoe just flip.
There it goes.
There the canoe goes, and this is when the current starts to pick up. So they're back there walking. The canoe is coming down.
Like a missile.
So I'm just like, okay, throw the kayak to the side. I'm literally in front of this canoe setting myself up as it's rolling at me. I didn't realize how big this thing was
until
it got up to me.
It's a big torpedo.
Ran me over. That thing cleaned me out. I am tumbling underneath of it. I hold on for dear life for one of them. I got one
Isn't
side.
Isn't this fun?
This
is a great
this
fun
was beautiful.
Outdoor
this
activity.
This was amazing. 30,
just a family you know, day out on the river.
It really is, though. Lots of lessons have been learned on this trip.
Yeah, there has been.
Keep your shoes on was number one.
That was
life jacket number two.
My little brother, 3 years old, my mom.
Don't go 30 miles when you've never done anything before.
No, you might want to start slow.
Start at the 5K.
My mom, you know, so she's holding, she's trying to drag my little brother through. And,
sure.
And I guess just like, come on. Well, Aiden slips, falls, and now he's coming down at me while I have this canoe. I have this canoe in one, and I have my little brother coming at me that I have to save. And
you got to decide. What is it going to be, the canoe or the brother?
No, I held them both. I was literally, I was like one
Superman.
Of those. Yes. Until we had a passer, some other group come by, get off, ditch their stuff, and come help me out. I said never again.
I bet you. I'm sure you did.
So awesome.
A river. had a great time, though.
Yeah.
I loved every bit of it regardless.
Snakes are flying by you that whole time, too.
Snakes flying by. Just, yeah. Don't bother me.
Yeah.
For real, 30 miles. That's the whole day.
It was four hours.
At least your dad didn't go upstream. I mean, you got that going for you.
You wouldn't make it. Yeah, that's
you know, Tony, it's funny with saying this. I worked as a canoe guide when I was younger up in the Boundary Waters in Canada.
Yeah.
And I've canoed the rivers before.
Uh-huh.
But listening to this story the whole time, I was biting my tongue wanting to say, I didn't know the different strokes of a paddle either until I was rooming with a guy who was born and raised up there.
Yeah.
Do you know the different, like, J strokes?
I actually am believe it or not, I am actually a really good canoe/kayak because I grew up going to the Jack's Fork River, and there's a there's a little log cabin type resort down there that is owned by the Missouri State Teachers Association. My grandparents were teachers. And my right. grandpa was a principal. You know, like anyway. So I spent a lot of time in canoes learning how to canoe, learning how to fish,
yes.
taking those type of trips. So yeah.
The difference in a place like the Boundary Waters is you're on lakes and stuff. There's no yeah. current helping you.
Yeah.
And it could be a wind
well,
in your...
Well, current doesn't always help you. Sometimes it hurts
no,
you.
But it doesn't hurt you like a 30-mile-an-hour wind in your face. And
no,
you only got one direction you can go.
Yeah.
And you got 8 days' worth of food. You can't turn this canoe
no, around. No, mm. no, you can't.
And it's not necessarily... It's glacier lakes. The ice just came off in May, you know.
Yeah.
And you're in late May, so it's cold if yeah. you get in. So I learned all the different strokes.
Yeah.
If I could have spent 5 minutes with your mom, she could have kept her paddle because you just do the J stroke and you can paddle on one side because it keeps the canoe straight.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yep.
then you switch to the other side and do the J stroke the opposite direction. You yep. don't have to keep going back,
to
and
go
forth.
Back and forth. Yeah.
That's the reason you go back and forth with a kayak because it's awkward to not have the kayak
yeah.
paddle.
Or you could be out, you so could be out there and, you know, like.
5 minutes with somebody would have saved the whole 30 miles would have been better.
You could be trying to navigate something, you know, a little bit of current in some deep water at one point and then have your teenage daughter decide she's going to stand up and lean over because she wants to see something outside. But yeah, like,
yeah,
that doesn't make for a good canoe trip either.
No. Yeah, the Boundary Waters will. Yeah,
I bet.
It's fun. Everybody should do it.
It was worth it. What a great story. We're going to take you out this year, this summer, this spring. We're going to go fishing, maybe even get on a boat, and we're going to have a much different experience.
Yes.
I promise. And it'll be great. All right, we are going to bring you an abbreviated version of the fishing report and have a little more talk, a little more discussion next on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 News Talk STL.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL. And if you trip-